Welcome to the Restoring Hope Church Sermon Podcast, where together we are encouraged, challenged, and empowered as we explore the Word of God and its relevance to our lives today.
We had Brittany, my very first, my precious, my love. And she would wake up in the morning, just tiny little thing, and her eyes would be glued shut. And we'd have to take hot washcloths and slowly wipe away all the boogers from her eyes, because her tear ducts were clogged, and they would make these just like sealed shut, and she'd wake up scared because she couldn't open her eyes, right? And so we went to the doctor, and I was like, this. No big deal. We got this. It's a surgery. We take these pipe cleaners and we shove them in her eyes and clean out the tear ducts. And I'm like, what? You do what? And I'm thinking like grade school when we twisted those pipe cleaner things, and I'm thinking that it's wire on the inside of that thing. And they're like, oh, we got this. No big deal. And I'm like, no, wait. Like, this is her eyes. And I was terrified to take my little girl into this place where she was going into this room where I couldn't be there, I couldn't hold her hand, I couldn't be in control of anything, and I had to trust that these doctors were going to clean her eyeballs out, tear ducts in her eyeballs, you know. And she came out fine. But I remember it was a moment in time when I had to stop and I had to say, okay, God, I got nothing here, but I need you. This is my girl, my number one child. And it was just another notch in my life of things I had to learn about trusting God. I'd like to tell you, you know, I'm 50, so I'm so old, right? but I'd like to tell you, you know, you learn a few of those and you're fine. No, there's just more. So I went, I know it's been a while since I've been in the Old Testament. It's not that I have given up on the Old Testament. I just really like the New Testament a lot. But I want to go back to a story that kind of shows us about this journey of faith that this guy went through. There's this guy. His name is Abram. Later his name changes to Abraham. But we're not there yet. So when we come across Abram, he's in the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and he's part of a family structure, and he's there, and he's got his own family. But somehow, we're not exactly clear how it comes about, except God and Abram begin to communicate. And God says to Abram, hey, I want to bless you. In fact, he says something like, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That's just the short phrase, but this is God's words to Abram. Hey, listen, I know what you understand about God's is kind of strange. Your father and your grandfather, they worship there's a moon god and there's a sun god, and there's a tree god, and there's a frog god, and there's an alligator god, and there's here a god, there a god, everywhere a god. He says, but I want to begin this journey with you and let you know that there really isn't all those. It's just me. So Abram becomes the father of what's called monotheism or one god. And he says, listen, I want to start this journey with you, and I want to bless you. I want to pour into you. I want to give to you. And in such a way that your life is going to have ripple effects. You see the picture I got there, ripple? Yeah. You ever thrown a rock in a glassy pond? We used to skip the rocks across, pew, 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 and then each one of those would make its own ripples. See, our lives have ripple effects. And God says, listen, I'm going to start blessing you so that you can be a blessing, so that your life has ripple effects that affect everything you encounter. In fact, eventually we're going to find out that it's going to affect globally. But the thing we want to learn as we start this story is you are blessed to be a... Let me try that again. I know I threw that out at you and you guys weren't ready. Three of you were napping. It's okay. It's all right. You are blessed to be a blessing, right? And so I want to enter into this first phase. It's a slow fade. Oh, it's because it's not showing on the back. That's why. The call. So God comes up and he says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So basically says, listen, I'm going to bless you so that your life has ripple effects, so that you can be a blessing. And he says, great, that sounds wonderful. Let's do this. Do you need anything from me? He says, yeah, actually, I'm going to ask you to move. Oh, well, all right. Who can I take? Just your wife, and you got a few sheep and a few goats, maybe a camel, a donkey. Take those with you. But just start going, and then I'll show you where. When you get there, I'll let you know you've arrived. How's that sound? Does anybody? I mean, like anybody all for that game? Yeah, it was like. All right. But his family, his home, everything he knows, whatever business he has to help cultivate his life and sustain his family and to feed everybody and everything he knows, he's got to uproot and go to that. Does that sound comfortable? Does that sound easy? Does that sound like something you're just, woohoo. By the way, we just met. And don't get me wrong, Abram at this point in his life is not a saint. He's brand spanking new. He's a freshie. He's like, oh, so you're the God, right? The God. He's like, yeah. And so I'm supposed to follow you? Yeah. Can you see this conversation going? Like, think if somebody came to you, hey, come with me. We're going to go to North Carolina. Okay. Do you know any Southern? Not so much. I'm a West Coast guy. Well, it's a little different in the South, but it's okay. We're going to go. We're going to have a great time. Leave everything you've got here and just leave it and let's go. Pack up and move. And you are? And how's it going to be when we get there? Don't worry, I'm going to bless you. Well, I'm a little worried. Can you see this? Is anybody with me on this thought process? He said, listen, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. Now, this is actually a pattern that God does. It was started in Genesis where when God created the heavens and the earth, He separated the different things. He separated the sky from the ground. He separated the birds and the fish. He separated all this stuff. And then he fills what he separated. He separated the sky, and then he filled it with birds. And he separated the ground. He filled it with fish and the land and creepy crawlies. And so there's a pattern that God starts at the very beginning, and it goes separation, filling, and then on the last day he rested, blessing. Separation-filling blessing. Separation-filling blessing. So when God calls you to go out and move, he's beginning a new thing in you. And so he comes to Abraham, and Abraham's like the, or Abram is the first story that we have, and we see where God's doing this separation, filling, and blessing. Separation. He says, I'm going to separate you out to take you out. I'm going to separate you away from what you got, but I'm going to bless you while you're there. I'm going to fill you with all these. You're going to be numerous. You're going to have all these great things. And we'll get to that verse in just a little bit. And I'm going to bless you so that you can be a
blessing.
And so he says, go. Now, here's the journey. See little Abraham figure over there in the land of Ur. And it would be quicker to go across the Arabia desert all the way to where he's supposed to go. But that would be almost death because it's desert, no water. And so the path is follow the rivers all the way up north to the Haran area, and then go back down and follow the Mediterranean Sea down to where he's going to end up in Shechem. And so this is Abraham's journey. Sometimes maps help me. Does anybody love a map? My kids can't get anywhere in town without turning on their GPS phone. You know, like I don't know where I'm going unless I type that. I mean, they're better at it now, but at first it was like, yeah, where am I going? Give me the address, right? And so here's what happens. And so, listen, sometimes it's you got to move. And movement is what God is trying to get you to do out of your comfort zone, out of the place where you've been so comfortable and stuck in your rut. But what God is trying to do is get you out of your rut, get you out of your place of where you've been comfortable, but into a place that is getting you moving toward the direction of trusting Him more. In the movement of where I have to stretch a little bit, and I have to grow a little bit, and I have to begin to trust this God who says, get up and move. And see, sometimes it's move, like sell your house and move. Sometimes it's a new job. But I'm good at this job. Yeah, but there's another job for you, and there's a lot more work, but you can do this. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of work right now, and having more work doesn't seem so appealing to me. And I remember when I was doing pretty good at my little Bruno's Builders business, and there was a guy that came to me and said, hey, listen, I need you to build that church. I said, well, that takes a different license than the one I have. I have to be licensed as a general contractor, and I have to do these things. And he says, great. Can you do that? I said, well, I have to get the license. He says, okay. And I'm like, so that means I have to go take the test and pass all that, and then there's it's about $6,000 to do this test and to do that thing, and then you have to file with the... He says, yeah, can you do that? I'll pay for it. And suddenly it became very real that this, you know, and I want to build churches and I want to be part of growing the kingdom and I want to do that. But like suddenly it became very real that I had to do some things in order to get to go that. And he says, I'll pay for it if you go do that. Can you pass the test? I'm like, yeah, I can. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I know how to do this. He says, okay, go. The money's in an account and I just need to know when I need to send it. And suddenly it was on. Like, I went to the class, I studied, I passed the test. By the way, the lady said I got the highest score of anybody in the last several months. And then suddenly, it went from work to work, right? You know? But it was an opportunity that God had given me to expand and to grow and to be more and to do more and to have the ability to do some ripple effects things. He's blessed me so that I could be a blessing. And so Sometimes these opportunities that are given are opportunities for you to trust God and to grow. And the truth was, I could handle it. I am handling it. I'm doing fine. In fact, I'm doing really fine. I got to build my own house, which was like a childhood dream that I when I was in high school, I took drafting class, and I designed my own home in drafting class. Of course, the home I designed in drafting class had lions in the front, and I still think I might want some lions. Some statue lions right in the front. No? Okay. She's not into the lions, but someday they might just show up. No. See, she has cats. Just saying. See, so sometimes in life, and sometimes it's very small things. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes it's small things. Like I have some things that are bad habits that maybe I need to start adjusting. Or we just had a whole group of people that went through financial peace class who said, I'm kind of fed up in spending more than I have coming in. And I'm tired and sick, in words of Dave Ramsey, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of not having enough money or not spending doing money the right way. He says, every dollar counts. And this whole group of people went through this class to say, enough's enough. I'm gonna move in the direction of doing better with my money. And sometimes it's just little things that need to be adjusted. But God's calling. Move. I need to adjust the timer on my screen because I apparently talk longer than this it lets me. The next section I want to talk about is this promise, this business that Abraham and God got into. He says something like this. I pushed the button. Okay. He says, listen, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, that sounds pretty good, right? This is like a threefold promise, if you will. And by the way, did you notice all the blesses in there? There's like five or six of those bless or blessed or blessings or in there. Are you noticing a pattern? So I will make you into a great nation. So it's a national promise. I promise to make you into a nation. There is no Israel or Israelites or anything like that yet. It's just God and Abram. But listen, out of you will become a great nation. And then there's and I will make your name great. People will know you. If you're going to tell the great story of Jesus, the gospel message, and you're going to start off with the book like Matthew, the very first book of Matthew is this the gospel message of the story of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and all things are just that come into be are taken place in this story, and it starts off in Matthew. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I mean, so exciting. Genealogies, does everybody read through the genealogies that are in your Bible? We got one that reads through the genealogies, right? Seriously, like who's going to start with the greatest story ever with a genealogy? But it says, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. His name is listed as this story starts right here. I will make your name great. In fact, in Hebrews, this is it was counted unto Abraham for his faithfulness. So, and then it gets global, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is a global blessing. This is a great, great promise. But listen, Abram doesn't know this God. He's not a saint. He hasn't been traveling with God for any length of time. He just says, I want you to move. And when you do, this is how it's going to go. Oh, okay. I mean, what do you say? I don't like moving. I have to, like in May, we have to go over to Point Loma. One of Isaac's graduating. Woohoo! We get to take him off the payroll. But Emily is moving out of her dorm. Like, it's one room. And technically, it's only half of a room because she shares it with somebody else. I am not looking forward to just moving her out of half of her dorm room. Seriously, like, I don't want to move. Move, but I will bless you. And your life will have ripple effects. He says this, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He made a decision. He decided to trust. And so when you begin to trust, it starts off little. Okay, here's one thing I'm going to trust you with. Like when I hire a guy to work for me, I do not give him access codes to my bank accounts to go buy materials anywhere. That's my job. I'm going to take care of paying bills. You don't get to touch the money, right? Like, little steps. But Abram says, okay, off we go. And he travels on his journey, and he begins to go up the rivers here are the Euphrates River and the Tigris River. This is where the civilization has begun in this area. Why? Because they learned to irrigate. So they get water from the Tigris and Euphrates, and they learn to irrigate, and they learn to plant food. And this is towards the end of the middle to the end of the Bronze Age, if you will, if you remember your history class. And what they're no longer moving towards nomads that are just roaming around looking for some place that the rain has fallen and luckily enough they can feed their cattle, but they've learned to irrigate and they've learned to grow and stay settled, and so cities are forming and technology, if you will, the Bronze Age is growing, and all the things are happening. But where Abraham is going is the middle of nowhere. So come out, move, but move out of where everything is really happening to the middle of nowhere. I had a friend this week who took his son. His son graduated from a tech school and had to go to Nashville for a internship. And so he and his son hopped in the little car and off they went. And the brand new tire that they bought blew in, get this, Shamrock, Texas. Has anybody ever been to Shamrock, Texas? Anyone? You know what's in Shamrock, Texas? Nothing. They had to wait 2 days for somebody in Shamrock, Texas to drive somewhere where they could find a tire and drive it back to put on the car. And I told my friend, I said, I've been to Shamrock, Texas. When I went through Shamrock, Texas, I was traveling in a little bitty car that my brother had and his two dogs that he got asked to move to South Carolina, and the dogs have a little bit of pit bull in them, and so nobody would ship them. So I got to drive Penelope and George to South Carolina. And as we go through Shamrock, Texas, which is like maybe a mile, I see this police car coming, and I don't even flinch. Don't even flinch. I'm going 2 miles over the speed limit. I'm like, it's 2 miles over the speed limit. And I see the police car. I'm like, hey. He turns around and pulls me over. And this guy was like barely 16 years old. And he says, you know how fast you're going? I said, I know exactly how fast I was going. I was going 2 miles over the speed limit. He goes, "Well, sir, that's why they call it a limit." And I'm looking at him like, "Are you serious?" And he goes, "Yes, sir, I'm serious. Limit." And he writes me, he was so kind, a warning. Shamrock, Texas, this is where Abraham's going. Nowhere. There's nothing out there. It's nowhere. But if you would look at the map, at the very bottom, you'll see Egypt down there, civilization. There's the Nile River. They've got stuff going on. It's maybe some pyramids. Who knows? And Egypt is down there. Way over at the other, the Babylon territory over there, Ur and all that, where he comes from, civilization is happening. But there's desert and there's ocean and there's nothing in between. But if you're traveling, you follow the water, right? And where God is taking Abram is in the middle of nowhere, but it's on the route where all of the known civilization has to travel through and see him. This guy who begins the relationship of trusting God, and God says, eventually he says to him, like, listen, what I want from you is to live in a way where you trust me and I'll provide for you. And what we do, we don't kill one another, we take care of one another. And we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't steal, we don't. But you're going to trust me and I'll provide for you. And when people come through and they see this, they're going to go, oh, this is different than what's happening in the whole known world. What's God doing? He's positioning Abram in a place so that he can be a blessing globally. Are you with me? What's that called? Yeah. Phase three, the journey. Abram's decided to go. I'm gonna go. I'm with you. We're gonna try this out. If it gets bad, I'll just turn around and go back. Maybe. I mean, like if you're Abram, what's the conversation in your head? And you're like, well, all right, I'll give this a try. We'll see what happens. If it all falls apart. So Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. So he travels along, and he gets all the way to this Canaanite, and here's this great tree. This is not the tree. I mean, it's just a picture of a great tree. But what you need to know about great trees, it's labeled such that whenever there were great big trees, trees represented life, trees represented prosperity, trees represented growth. And so he comes to this tree that's well known as the great tree. But also what would happen, and the Canaanites are there, is they would come to this great tree and they would worship under the great tree. And so Abram finds himself on this journey where he travels all the way and finds himself face to face with this great tree. And there is trinkets all around the base of the tree. There's little stones placed here and there. There are skeletal remains. Because one of the gods of the Canaanites requires child sacrifice. Now, it's about 800 or 900 miles to where he's traveled. And there's, keep in mind, there's no TripAdvisor. There's no Expedia. There's no flights and packages where you can get a hotel stay and a rental car. It's him and his four-hoof, four-wheel drive donkey. Right? 900 miles. And there's no indication that God had spoken to him again yet until he gets here. How long does it take you to travel on a four-hoof, four-wheel drive donkey 900 miles? It's got to be months of travel, right? It's got to be. I mean, I'll admit to you, I've never gone anywhere on a donkey. I have barely ridden a horse. I really like my truck. So I'm not even sure how long this takes, but there's silence from God all the way to this point. And when you get to this tree, are you beginning to question, did I really talk to that God? Did he really ask me to move? I'm sure he asked me to move. I'm sure I was supposed to do this, right? Have you ever been in that place where you've trusted God so long, but you're in a place where things are strange and different, and it's unsettling to your spirit, and you're like, did I make that up? Anybody? How many of you know somebody who you grew up with where your youth group was fantastic and you prayed together and you worshiped together and now they're off somewhere doing something and want nothing to do with God? Sorry. Or even worse, maybe it's your spouse who said, you go ahead, be Christian, but I'm not into this deal. Or the children that you've raised and taught them all the ways. And listen, God is worth trusting. And here they are, grown people going, making grown decisions and doing adulting things. And they have to come to the place where they have to decide on their own whether or not he's worth trusting. And you're watching them and you're wondering, are they going to make the right choice? I think that's where Abram's at the great tree of Moreh. I think it's a crossroads of trust. I think it's a point of which where he has to decide, am I going to follow this God or am I going to go back to the ways I know? I know this place because I have one back in Ur. I know what happens here. Now he's married, he doesn't have any children, but he sees the bones and he knows that's what goes on here. And I begin to wonder if later on we come into this Isaac story. I wonder if this tree has anything to do with that story. We'll get to that later. Don't get ahead of me. I know it was my fault. I took. But what we see is, this is written hundreds of years later by Joshua, and Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, long ago your ancestors, including Terah and the father of Abraham and Noah, Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. That's where Abraham comes from worshipping other gods. The gods, here God, there God, everywhere God. That's what he knows. That's what he's comfortable with. That's what his father and his grandfather taught him, that Nahor and Terah. That's what he knew. But at this point, he has an encounter where he has to decide. You know what idolatry is? This is what the tree represents, where the other gods are being worshipped under the tree. Idolatry is this: my stubborn commitment to trust something other than God to fulfill the rightful place of God. Did you catch that? Let me try it one more time and listen carefully. My stubborn commitment to trust something other than God to fill the rightful place of God. You know, I've been building houses since I was 18 years old. I'm pretty good at it now, and I can trust in my own ability to build stuff. Or I'm pretty handsome, I could get by on my looks. I'm just such a good-looking guy. Oh, maybe I better not do that one. or I'm pretty smart. I can outthink most people, I'm pretty quick-witted, and I can come up with those gabs that just get people. I can get by on that. Or some guys are really good at cheating other people out of stuff. Anybody ever lost money because somebody convinced you it was a great, great idea? Hindsight, such a wonderful gift, isn't it? Anybody bought Bitcoin way too late? Just throwing that out there. When you begin to trust in your own ability, in your own skills, in your own beauty, in your own strength, in your own knowledge, in your own stuff, that is a form of idolatry. Instead of trusting the God who gave you strength, who gave you ability, who gave you wit, who gave you you see, you were blessed by God. He gave you those skills. He gave you those things in your life for the very purpose of being a blessing. See, if I could talk to you for a little bit, see, when you're blessed with things, it can go one of two ways. You can use those gifts and those blessings and those things to bless others, or you can take your life and use it to cause calamity. And it works equally as good depending on how you're going to do that. Don't raise your hand, rhetorical question. Has anybody raised up in a family where there was somebody who betrayed somebody else, like a parent, and a divorce took place? Did that ever? I'm sure you're not scarred by it at all, right? I have a friend whose father was verbally abusive to his wife because he did not value women at all. He would say things, well, at least you can cook. He wouldn't let her go learn anything. He wouldn't let her, as long as you could cook my meal, that's the only reason I married you for. And my friend had to work very hard at changing his perspective on his own wife because his marriage was falling apart. And he couldn't see it because his father had taught him how to be that way. And not only that, but the value he had for just not just women, but people in general was very low because he thought very high of himself. How you speak and how you act and how you interact in your families and with your wife and with your children matter. And you were blessed and you were given these great skills and things like that. Not to damage and to cause dissent and to... And that's what God is trying to do with Abram is take out all those things that cause death and killing of babies and worshiping these other gods that required all these horrible things of you. And say, no, I'm not requiring any of that of you. I'm going to bless you. And so your life will be a blessing and the whole world can see what my way is. And so listen, in this call, the ripple effects of your life matter. And what we see here is the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Here he is at a crossroads in his life under the tree of Moriah where he has a choice to make. to go back to what he knows, to worshiping all those other, here God, there God, everywhere God, God, or stick with the one true God who says, I'm going to do something with you. And he made a choice. I'm sticking with God. And I'm continuing on this journey. And I will choose to trust you. Are you with me? And from there, he went on toward the hills of the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai, and on the east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Yeah, he built an altar there in Shechem, and then the Lord said, we're not done moving. And he put him right there in Bethel, right there where Israel is today. Put him right there. And Abram builds another altar, and he says, you promised to make my name great. I'm going to do the same. I'm going to make your name great. And this trust begins to go both ways. Now listen, I want to warn you. I want to caution you a little bit. Abraham, at this point, does not get everything right. He gets some things right. He does some really great things, trusting in the Lord. And then he does some really stupid things where he didn't trust the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I have done some really great things for the Lord, and I've done some really stupid things that I wished I hadn't done. You know what it didn't change? God's relationship with me. He says, all right, let's move on. Continue to trust me, and we'll keep growing together. Don't let the things that you do stupid make you stupid. Trust in the Lord. There's a verse that I've kind of made one of my hold on to things in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Early in the week, my daughter, Michaela, says, Dad, are we related to George Bernard Shaw? I said, yes, we are. She's like, what? Really? How? What? You know, like 12 questions later. I'm like, I don't know. We're just related. Well, how do you know that? Well, one of my aunts did a study, and there it came up. We're related to George Bernard Shaw. Does anybody know who George Bernard Shaw is, by the way? Pygmalion, My Fair Lady is, anyway, he's a famous author. Not that famous, apparently. There's nothing in George Bernard Shaw's life that has been passed down from generation to generation that has caused me to be who I am. But somewhere along the line, there were three Shaw brothers that came to America, and when they arrived, their parents died. And so the three brothers split the assets and went three different ways. But one of those brothers had an encounter with God and chose to become a minister of the gospel and went around spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's that brother that my family belongs to today. Because one guy made a choice and said, I'm going to follow the Lord. And the ripple effects of his life had led me to this place where I am right now. I'm a product of Dennis and Peggy Shaw. My dad is a good man who taught me about God, who taught me how to be a man who follows God. And because my father chose to be a man of God and chose to trust God with all of his life and chose to teach that to me, I stand here today a man of God. And my mother, who would softly say things about trusting in the Lord, about how we treat one another, about how we live our lives honest and true, and our yes means yes and our no means no. I could still hear whispers of her voice in my ear. And I could still hear her championing me, the son who she loved, when nobody else believed in me. And I remember a time I had tried to do this task and I failed miserably at it. And the teacher that had given me the grade of failing had the potential of just derailing me. Funny thing is, you'll never be better than a construction worker. Well, I am, and I'm pretty good at it, so. But my mother pulled me aside, and she says, listen, I want to show you something. And, right next to my mother's bed was her little nightstand, and it had two drawers, and she pulled the bottom drawer out, and out was this jar, a glass jar, and in the glass jar, there were just, like, funny things in there, and she pulls out, fiddled around in there, she pulls out this nail, and the nail is crooked and bent, and she says, Brian, you gave this to me, and I'm like, Mom, it's a bent nail. She says, no, you don't understand. When you gave this to me, you says, look, this one is different than all the other nails. All the other ones are straight, but this one's different. And she says, Brian, what you were able to notice was different things in the world have value. And she said to me at that moment, she says, Brian, you have the ability to see that different things in the world have value, and God needs a man like that. And it altered my life's direction in that one moment. If there's anything I've ever said to you, if there's anything I've ever preached, if there's anything I've ever demonstrated to you, and your life was altered in a direction to where you are trusting God more, it's because I am the product of ripple effects of people's life that have caused me to be the man who I am, and I'm here today to teach you about who God is. And I want nothing more for you to understand is that God loves you and He's worth trusting. And He will take you on the adventure of a lifetime. And it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it because you will be His next ripple effect. Your life has the potential to change somebody else's life, to do something great. It may even be global. And so today I want to encourage you. If God is separating you out and calling you to move, whatever it is He's calling you to move to, and some of you, it may be sell your house and move. Some of you, it may be this new job opportunity. Some of you, it may be Financial Peace University or getting control of your finances. It may be a brand new baby in your life. It may be your son getting married to a new girl that you have to decide whether or not she's going to be your new daughter. It may be your children. It may be your wife. It may be your grandchildren. It may be something deep inside you. But God may be calling you to move. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. And you will be blessed so that you may be a blessing. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. Let's pray. Almighty God, somebody here feels unsettled because you've asked them to move. There is tension, there's nervousness, there's unknown, there's what next. Lord God, I can even imagine that there is, I don't want to let go of. But in this moment, you're calling out, saying it's time to move. It's time for a change. It's time for something new. And it's time for you and I to become friends. Lord, if you would, bolster our faith, bolster our trust in you. And as you pour out blessing in our life, may we recognize you. That as you ask us to move, you will bless. And as you bless, it's so that we can be a blessing. Lord, take my life and let it be a living sacrifice for you. Lord, take my life and use it for the ripple effects of your kingdom. Lord, whoever I am because of you. Whatever I have achieved because of you. Whatever influence or reputation, it's because you have made my name great. And so, Lord, may my life point back to you in all that I do and all that I say. And may the ripple effects of my life be all for your kingdom's cause, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you will take what you heard and use that to offer the restoring hope of Christ to those around you.